Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Vroman. I'm so glad you're with me on this wonderful day. This is the program where we focus on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Accutane, Alaska. Let's start this program off with a prayer. I'm so glad you're with me. Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread as we forgive us our trespasses, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today we're going to jump right into the Bible study because we are starting a six-week countdown to Easter. Isn't that exciting? And I'm going to every program play a musical, an Easter musical, to help us think about that. It's an Easter theme. Today we're going to continue our Bible study in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, have your Bibles open. We left off last week where Pilate was a Roman leader. He was under tremendous pressure to not cause any problems. He'd had a lot of bloodshed. He was under, the current leader was Tiberius, and Tiberius was sick. He was on the throne. He was superstitious. So Pilate just wants there to be peace. This is during the Passover. The Passover was a time when they remembered God passing over and providing the blood of the Lamb. It's time when Jesus is going to die. Lots of people in Jerusalem. Pilate is staying there temporarily, of course, to keep peace. And we just picked up, let me read in John chapter 19, verse number 12. No, sorry, John chapter 19, verse number 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." All right. Pilate has Jesus. Jesus has already been crown of thorns. He has the purple robe on. His back's been shredded from being scourged. He's been hit a bunch of times. Pilate is trying to get out of this without killing Jesus and keeping the peace. They're demanding Jesus is crucified. Crucifixion was the most lethal, terrible way to die. So with that being said, we pick up where we left off there. The Jews said, "We have a law, by our law, he ought to die," because they had a law in Leviticus. It says, if you commit blasphemy, you deserve to die. And they said the blasphemy is he claimed to be the Son of God. They didn't care. They wanted him wiped out. Verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was more afraid. So Pilate is already terrified because he's under orders that if there's another big incident, he could get in big trouble. But when he hears him saying the Son of God, he goes to his religion. His religion was a polytheistic. They believed the gods could become, walk on the earth. And he was now scared maybe Jesus was one of those gods. And he was going to kill him. That could cause problems for him. So you add his political pressure. You had his spiritual beliefs, and you've got a mess. So he goes back in, and verse 9, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Once thou art." So he said, "Where are you?" Now in John chapter 1, we learn Jesus is the Word that became flesh. He's fully God, he's fully man. John has made it very clear who he is, God in the flesh. Pilate comes in, he's like, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answers. In John 53:7, it mentions again that he was stricken there with the Messiah, or whoever the suffering servant is, which of course we know it's Jesus, he wouldn't open his mouth, and that's fulfilling that prophecy there. Then saith Peter unto him, Pilate unto him, I don't know why I keep saying Peter, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" He's like, "I have the power here." Man thinks they have power. But do we really have power? I mean, we have power, but do we really have power? He says, "You better talk to me. You're going to talk to me? I'm the one that has the power here. I could have you crucified or I could set you free. You need to speak up and tell me what you, because Pilate is looking for some legal way to either arrest Jesus, release him, whatever, but he's got to get more. He'd love it if Jesus said, I'm the king. I'm bigger than Caesar, because then he could definitely justify killing him. Jesus answered, listen to this, thou couldst have no power at all except me, against me, except it were given thee from above. Your power, Pilate, it comes from above. It comes from God. That's the only reason you think you have power here. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee has the greater sin. The one that delivered him, Judas, the Jews. I think ultimately us, we have great sin. Why did Jesus die? He died for our sin. He died for our sin. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So the Jews yell back and they're like, well, if you're going to let him go, you're an enemy of Caesar. And that would definitely get him in trouble with Tiberius. Said he claimed to be a king. Well, you got to deal with him, Pilate. So a couple things there. I just want to lay out 3 points for you to think about as we get into the Easter musical. Number one, God gives the power. Jesus really had the power here. And Jesus is choosing to die for our sins. Number two, yeah, he's dying for our sins. We're sinners. Sin's penalty is death. Sin's penalty is separation from God. But Jesus died for our sins. Also, it's very clear that Jesus is the sinless sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be sinless, but yet Jesus, and Pilate said, I don't find anything, there's no flaw in him. Well, yeah, because he's the Lamb of God. He's God's sacrifice for sin. As we meditate on these truths, let's listen to a wonderful, wonderful musical. This is called Once and For All. Enjoy this musical. We'll be back here next week as we continue to talk about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. How can I pray for you? You can email me, or if you had a question. I didn't get a question from Ray this week. He's my buddy over there in Accutane. Shout out to Ray and anyone else listening. I know Antoine listens. I know sometimes Vera gets to listen. I think maybe a few others listen, but I just want to mention them on the air. So good shout out to Ray. But what I want to do is I want to continue meditating on the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and we'll do that through music, through Bible study. We'll pick it up here next week as Pilate continues to wrestle with, will he crucify Jesus? Will he give the word to crucify? Of course he will, but there's more to this give and take and things that are going on. But remember, the last thing Jesus says right here before he's going to give the order to be crucified, he said, the power comes from above. And remember the one that was delivered. Have you realized that we're sin? We are in sin, and sin is the reason Jesus was delivered to the cross. We need to get saved and trust him. Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Let's pray right now. Lord, thank you for everybody listening. I pray they'd understand about the gospel message. Thank you again for Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Now
If you want to know someone's heart, observe that person's final journey. With his mission still before him, Jesus stopped his disciples and told them for the third time of his conclusive encounter with the enemy. "We are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be turned over to the leading priests and the teachers of the law, and they will say that he must die. They will give the Son of Man to the non-Jewish people to laugh at him, and beat him with whips and crucify him. But on the third day, he will be raised to life again." Forget any suggestion that Jesus was trapped. Erase any theory that Jesus made a miscalculation. Ignore any speculation that the cross was a last-ditch attempt to salvage a dying mission. For if these words tell us anything, they tell us that Jesus died on purpose. No surprise, no hesitation, no faltering. Jesus stepped toward Jerusalem with the promise of God in his heart. The divinity of Christ assured the humanity of Christ, and Jesus spoke loud enough for the pits of hell to vibrate. "But on the third day, he will be raised to life again." You can tell a lot about a person by the way he dies. And the way Jesus marched to his death leaves no doubt. He had come to earth for this moment.
To die on Calvary.
On a cross. The creator of the universe is being executed. Spit and blood are caked to his cheeks, and his lips are raked and swollen. Thorns rip his scalp. His lungs scream with pain. Taut nerves threaten to snap as pain twangs her morbid melody. Yet death is not ready, and there is no one to save him. For he is sacrificing himself. Far worse than the breaking of his body is the shredding of his heart. His own countrymen clamored for his death. His own disciple planted the kiss of betrayal. His own friends ran for cover. And now his own father is beginning to turn his back on him, leaving him alone.
Zion shall Israel sing, here he is, behold your king, Lamb of God, sacrifice upon a tree. Zion shall Israel sing, God becomes an offering, your Messiah.
There was some dice throwing that went on at the foot of the cross. Imagine this scene. The soldiers are huddled in a circle, their eyes turned downward. The criminal above them is forgotten. They gamble for some used clothes. The tunic, the cloak, the sandals are all up for grabs. Each soldier lays his luck on the hard earth, hoping to expand his wardrobe at the expense of a cross-killed carpenter. Here are common soldiers witnessing the world's most uncommon event, and they don't even know it. As far as they're concerned, it's just another Friday morning, and he is just another criminal. Come on, hurry up. It's my turn. All right. This throw's for the sandals. Casting lots for the possessions of Christ. Heads ducked, eyes downward. Cross forgotten. Thank you.
We're so quick to judge them, yet so slow to see. How their games resemble ones played by you. In the Church of God,
Church of God,
while the world goes on dying without the Savior's love,
and we just playing games at the foot of the cross.
The Jews could celebrate. Jesus was out of the way. The soldiers could celebrate. Their work was done. But Mary Magdalene couldn't celebrate. To her, the last few days had brought nothing but tragedy. Mary had been there. She had heard the leaders clamor for Jesus' blood. She had witnessed the Roman whip rip the skin off his back. She had winced as the thorns sliced his brow and wept at the weight of the cross. So in the early morning mist, she arises from her mat, takes her spices and aloes and leaves her house, past the gate of Jenneth and up to the hillside. She anticipates a somber task.
It seems
saddened with tears. And it seems like some great tragedy has filled your heart with fears. With sorrow speak, won't you let me calm your fears? Who do you seek?
Jesus, is it you?
Mary. reigns. Sing to God a hymn of gladness, sing to God a hymn of praise. He who on the cross as Savior for the world's salvation bled, Jesus Christ, the King of glory, now is risen from the dead.
He's alive, he rose in power and majesty. He's alive and reigns triumphantly.
The frightened disciples gathered once again in an upper room, daring to dream that the Master had left them some word, some plan, some direction. Then they heard a voice. Peace be with you. Every head lifted, every eye turned. They saw Jesus. They encountered the Christ. Their sins collided with their Savior, and their Savior won. Think about the first time you ever saw him. Think about your first encounter with the Christ. Robe yourself in that moment. Resurrect the relief. Recall the purity. Summon forth the passion. Can you remember? Do yourself a favor and stand before him again. Or better, allow him to stand before you. Go into your upper room and wait. Wait until he comes, and when he appears, don't leave. Run your fingers over his feet. Place your hand in the pierced side and look into those eyes. Those same eyes that melted the gates of hell and sent the demons scurrying and Satan running. Look at them as they look at you. You'll never be the same.
Because you're alive. majesty is the Lamb of God, now crowned the King of Kings. Through his precious blood we have pardon and stand now forgiven. He has made us his people.
There you go. We have finished an Easter musical. Did you like that? I hope you did. I really, really hope it was a blessing to you to get you thinking about Easter. I know it's 6 weeks out, but it'll be here before we know it. Do you know Jesus rose from the dead? Do you know it? Oh, it's so wonderful to know that. I was just messaging with somebody, and they were saying how much pain they're in. And I said, well, I can show you what the Bible says about how not to be in pain eventually when Jesus Christ and how with Jesus Christ and how one day the believers will be free from pain. Isn't that good news? Amen and amen. I was thinking, before we close this off again, I've got some wonderful, I know Ray over there in Accutan likes to laugh, so I do have this Christian comedian, Michael Jr. at the end. He's a funny guy, and I've got a couple clips by him to send us out. Also, Virgil over there in Sandpoint, one of the station managers. I think he is the station manager. He's one of the station
He's awesome. Shout out to Virgil. What an encouragement. If you have not reached out to the radio station in Sandpoint that gets the radio out to all these wonderful islands, you need to reach out and encourage them. And maybe you're at a place where you're looking for an opportunity to invest, and the station can always use new financial partners. They didn't ask me to say that. They provide this content free for you. But if you're listening, maybe you're listening to apradio.org, well, consider becoming a monthly subscriber where you send maybe $5, $10, maybe you can do $1,000. I don't know, but it would be a great investment because you know the value this radio station has, and they definitely can always use new partners. With that being said, what is your thoughts about Jesus? Have you thought a lot about him? And his, what his death and resurrection means to you? I got to be honest, sometimes even as I'm a pastor, but I get really, I'm squirrely, don't always obey, don't always do what I want. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. His faithfulness is new every morning. Isn't that true? Yes. That's why we have hope, because of Jesus. He conquered the world. I want to read you a verse. Just thinking about this. John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you," this is Jesus talking, "that in me you might have peace." Where's peace? In Jesus. "In the world ye shall have tribulation," trouble. He says tribulation, that means like trials, problems. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Do you believe that? Do you know that everyone, I've been in other countries, I've spoken other languages, and everyone can find the hope in Jesus Christ. That's so good. You heard it in song. Powerful, powerful, musical. Do you know that? Do you know that you can find peace in Jesus Christ? Now, I want to say this. I was meeting with a young man this week, and he was saying he grew up, his mom was kind of Hinduish religion, had different deities and everything. And I was explaining to him, when I talk about Jesus, now you need to hear this, okay? I'm not talking about the religious Jesus. The religious one, you put on a suit, you go sing some praises to him, yada, yada, yada. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Jesus that will give you life, that will give you light. In my book, called Way, if you wanted a copy, you could email me. I might even send you a copy. It's M-A-T-H-E-W-V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N. In my book I wrote, "Do not assume that Jesus is discussing the path for a person to become religious. Jesus did not say the way of religion, but the way of life. Religions are incapable of achieving life. Religion merely provides a behavior code." My friend, who's a former Jehovah's Witness, summarized that religion puts a new suit on a person, external, but Jesus puts a new person in a suit, inner. It is profound to realize that people will get religious, but not get life. Do you understand that? That the way is through Jesus Christ. We're finishing up now. I do want to say thank you again for being with me on this wonderful Sunday. Thank you for sharing Bible study with me. Don't forget John. We'll continue through John 19 next week as we're going through the book of John. But make sure you have set your heart on Jesus Christ. Make sure that you trusted him. When you get to heaven, he's not going to say, "Were you Baptist? Were you Lutheran? Were you good Orthodox? Were you Catholic?" He's going to look and say, "Did you believe in my son?" There's not all these groups in heaven. There's one group, and it's the people staying under the Lamb. I hope that you're encouraged. I hope you're ready for the eternal, and I hope you're having a great 2026 as we continue in this wonderful season as we're looking at the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Be blessed, my friend. Let me pray for you, and then we will be out of here with a couple laughs from Michael Porter Jr. Again, a shout out to Ray and Akadan. Lord, thank you again for this time. Bless it. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's take it out with Michael Jr., and get ready to laugh.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Amazing. Fabulous. How long have you been married?
52 years.
52 years. Wow. So to the same dude, though, right? We're not adding stuff up. We're like, yo, I mean,
actually,
there's three different people.
I married him twice.
How'd you marry him twice? How'd that, what happened?
We divorced after 25 years. And we remarried 2 years later on the same date. I asked God to fix him, to change him. I said, either change him or kill him.
Change him or kill him. That is great. I want y'all to notice that we have not heard a word from him. My brother's sitting there. Yes, ma'am. 26 years old, I moved to New York City from Michigan. Why did I move to New York City? Because I'm doing comedy at this point, and I want to know if I'm funny. And in New York, if you're not funny, the way they let you know is they'll say something like, you're not funny. So there's a comedy club in New York called the Comic Strip Live, and it's a really awesome club, but it's super hard to get into. They used to have an open mic on Tuesday nights. It would take place at 7 p.m. Well, comedians who are new in town, like myself, would start lining up at 6 o'clock in the morning so they can do like 90 seconds in front of the manager in hopes that he'll call them back the next month and they don't have to wait in line again. Really hard to get in this club. So it's finally my turn to perform at the Comic Strip Live. And right before I get on stage, this comedian named George Wallace walks in. Very established comedian. The problem is when someone like that who's established walks in, whoever's next gets bumped. I'm next. I know I'm about to get bumped. The manager's already walking over to me. But no, this is where God shows up for the first time in my life. Well, this is where I noticed him. The manager walks over and says, Michael Jr., listen, George Wallace is here. Would you like to go on before him or after him? That never happens. You never get an option. I was like, before him, please. So I go on before George Wallace, and I got New Yorkers laughing. But not only are they laughing, but he comes in, and he's laughing as well. After the show, there's a bunch of comedians around him and asking him questions. He leaves them, and he walks over to me. And he says, you know what? You're really funny. Let me ask you a question. He was like, why don't you curse? I was like, I don't know if my grandmother walk in or something. My grandmother wasn't coming to no comedy club in New York City. What else was I going to say? My friend might hit me in the chest. I'm a grown man. So he said to me, you're funny and you're clean. I'd like for you to do a show with me and my best friend in a couple nights. I didn't know who his best friend was, but I was pumped. I was excited. Turns out his best friend is Jerry Seinfeld. I do two shows. We get two standing ovations. I rip. I'm the man. I'm like, yeah. After the show, the club manager walks up to me. He said, Michael, you had a great set. Wow. He said, let me ask you a question. Would you like to go to church with me tomorrow? Church, I just got two standing ovations. Why are you messing us up right now, man? I was like, back up. You're making my feet hurt. I'm not going to church, man. So I was like, nah, that's okay. I don't want to go to church, man. Thanks, though. Church? What am I going to church for? 20 minutes later, his fiance asked me the same question, but she was fine. I mean, beautiful. And she had some kind of accent, too. She was like, Michael Jr., would you like to go to church with us? I was like, I was just looking for a church the other day, man. Find me a church, man.